Today I'm going to look once again at the Taxpayer First Act. It has undergone some changes that should make it more acceptable to everyone involved. And I have some other tax news that I want to share with you. So thank you for joining me with Tax Justice Warriors.
Welcome to Tax Justice Warriors, the podcast that celebrates the work of low-income taxpayer clinics, focuses on tax controversy work, and looks at related issues in tax news. I'm your host, William Schmidt, the director of the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Kansas Legal Services.
To begin with, at this point, we are past the first anniversary of the Wayfair decision from Supreme Court. This has been a game changer for state sales tax provisions. So several people who work in that area are certainly examining the various states they deal with and seeing what changes in sales tax have occurred within those states and how that affects the business they work in. So happy birthday to Wayfair, and I certainly salute the people that are making their decisions on what they need to change based on the Wayfair decision and the different state positions that they have taken following Wayfair. Also at the May American Bar Association tax meeting, the tax section, they announced the various Public Service Endowment Fund Public Service Fellows for 2019 through 2021. Evan Phoenix, who is a graduate of St. Thomas University's School of Law, will be working with the Bet Zedek Legal Services in Los Angeles, California, to provide tax education, advocacy, and representation on behalf of current military service members, veterans, and English as a second language taxpayers. And Andre Robinson is a graduate of Loyola University New Orleans College of Law, who will be working with the Low-Income Taxpayer Clinic at Southeast Louisiana Legal Services in New Orleans, Louisiana, to provide education and tax services to taxpayers returning to society after being incarcerated, as well as for microbusiness and small business owners. So congratulations to Evan and Andre. I hope to meet them at an upcoming LITC conference or American Bar Association conference. Perhaps one or both of them would be willing to be interviewed by Tax Justice Warriors, just as Omid Farouzi was in a past episode. So now I am going to turn to the Taxpayer First Act. Right now I am referring to H.R. 3151. That previously there was an earlier version of the bill, also called the Taxpayer First Act, but that was H.R. 1957. Now that one would have codified the IRS's free file program, in quotes, including any subsequent agreements and governing rules established pursuant thereto. So within the free file program, the IRS has entered into a memorandum of understanding with various companies in the tax software industry, and there is a pledge that the IRS will not develop its own tax preparation software. So within Congress, that was controversial whether codifying the free file program would prohibit the IRS from developing its own tax preparation software. Perhaps that would be the result. But at this point, the Taxpayer First Act, the current version, H.R. 3151, does not include any language about the free file program. So that is removed, and this current bill passed both the House of Representatives and the Senate, so it has gone to the President for signature. Now, I do have some summaries. I have a copy of the bill, but I haven't read the entire text. But one of the summaries from the Congressional Budget Office states that the bill would change the management and oversight of the Internal Revenue Service with the aim of improving customer service and the process for assisting taxpayers with appeals, restrict certain IRS enforcement activities, including the use of private debt collectors in certain cases, and modify the agency's organization. It will aim to combat identity theft and tax refund fraud, create an automated system to verify taxpayer information for authorized users, modernize information technology systems within the IRS, and expand the use of electronic information systems within the IRS. It will change several provisions in the laws governing the IRS, increase the penalty for tax returns filed more than 60 days after the due date. Now, specifically in Title I, putting taxpayers first, Title I would change the management and oversight of the IRS to improve customer service and the process of providing taxpayers with assistance for appeals, restrict certain IRS enforcement activities, and modify the agency's organization. Title II, 21st Century IRS. Title II would combat identity theft and tax refund fraud, create an automated system to verify taxpayer information for authorized users, and modernize information technology systems within the IRS. Title II also would expand the use of electronic information systems within the IRS, in part by relaxing current restrictions on the authority of the Secretary of Treasury to mandate electronic filing based on the number of returns required to be filed by a taxpayer. And Title III, miscellaneous provisions. Title III would make other changes to the laws governing the IRS, change the organization of the tax court, and increase the penalty for a return filed 60 days after its due date. Now, in reading a summary from the H&R Block Tax in the News, highlights of the Taxpayer First Act include codifying an independent Office of Appeals, requiring the IRS to develop a comprehensive customer service strategy and submit its plan to Congress within 1 year of the date of enactment, codify the low-income offer and compromise exception, allowing those with incomes below 250% of the federal poverty level to apply for an offer and compromise without including a fee or an upfront lump sum payment. It expands availability of equitable innocent spouse relief and allowing the tax court to consider relief without taking previous decisions into account. It expands the list of debts that may not be collected by private collection agencies to include the tax debts of individuals receiving supplemental security income or Social Security disability benefits and those with adjusted gross income of 200% or less of federal poverty level. It requires the Treasury Department to submit to Congress by September 30, 2020, a comprehensive plan to redesign the IRS's organization, including streamlining the agency and best methods of improving security. It requires the IRS to work collaboratively with the public and private sectors to protect taxpayers from identity theft refund fraud, requires the Treasury Department to issue an Identity Protection Personal Information Number to anyone who requests it within 5 years of date of enactment. The Treasury Department is also required to expand the program each year to additional states. It requires the Commissioner to appoint an IRS Chief Information Officer. And the only revenue provision in the Act is an increase in the minimum failure to file penalty for taxpayers who file 60 days after the due date of the return. That is effective for returns filed after December 31, 2019. The penalty may not be less than the lesser of $330, an increase from $210 for returns filed in 2019, or 100% of the tax owed. The $330 will be adjusted for inflation in future years. Now, I admit I have not done a thorough reading of the Taxpayer First Act in comparison of the current bill to the previous one. I wanted to give some comments on what is available within the Taxpayer First Act, that the general provisions that I do see act that provide further relief for low-income taxpayers, such as with regard to offers in compromise, with regard to private collection agencies, and innocent spouse relief. I do applaud those. Some of that is placing into statute what was already policy for the IRS, but I do not see how that is a bad action to take. It merely items that were already there and then increases what was in place to allow for the IRS and make them give better service or treatment to low-income taxpayers. Additionally, I do think it is good that the IRS is required to improve their customer service, improve their information technology systems, to submit plans to Congress on how they're going to implement those. I do think these are items that are way overdue. Reading some of the recent submissions by Nina Olson, the National Taxpayer Advocate, that she is submitting her last reports to Congress. That part of that does focus on improving IRS customer service. So if I were within the IRS, I would be going through the National Taxpayer Advocates reports and taking those to heart and putting them into place. But one of the main items I wanted to look at is the Independent Office of Appeals that does some items like naming and establishing the Independent Office of Appeals. It does establish a position, the Chief of Appeals. It tells what the role of the Chief of Appeals is and the Independent Office of Appeals. But I am going to take somewhat of a cynical view and ask, well, how is this supposed to be different than the current Office of Appeals within the IRS? Of independent within the Independent Office of Appeals, is that merely going to be a slight shuffling of what is currently there? Or do they want the current IRS Appeals Department, do they want them to be shut down and replaced by the Independent Office of Appeals, where they need to review, reassign, rehire various people to work under a new mission statement? Or how is this going to work? How are they going to interact with the various departments within the IRS? How are they going to work with taxpayers and private practitioners? Some of these items are vague and up in the air at this point, that while it is established, it is tough to know what will happen in the future. So I wanted to let you know that the Taxpayer First Act has passed both the House and Senate in Congress and has gone to signed. Indications would be that it would be signed by the president and go and become law, but then there are still questions on what has been written within the bill, how they would be implemented and put into place. I had not heard as much news about the Taxpayer First Act in its current incarnation, so I wanted to bring that to your attention. It is H.R. 3151 if you want to research further. I hope this has been educational for you, and thank you for tuning in to Tax Justice Warriors.
Thank you for listening to Tax Justice Warriors. We have a Patreon page if you'd like to support this podcast. Providing monetary support for this podcast helps with expenses like equipment or travel to tax conferences. Supporting this podcast through Patreon comes with rewards, so check out our Patreon page. Please rate or review this podcast because positive reviews help get more people to know this podcast exists. The views expressed on this podcast are not official opinions of the IRS, the Low Income Taxpayer Clinic program, or the employers of the people who spoke on this program. Your tax situation is unique, so do not take the statements on this program as tax or legal advice. Consult with your own tax professional to provide you with specific advice on your situation. Tune in next time on Tax Justice Warriors for another interesting tax discussion.